me to Ephesians chapter 6 today. Ephesians chapter 6 today, we're looking at how to win the spiritual battles. And we see in this section, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, we see the tactics of the enemy, but also how we defeat him. Aren't you glad today that Satan has been defeated? Come on, church, forever. We may have daily battles with the enemy and with our own flesh, our own sinful flesh as well. But aren't you glad that Jesus has conquered all that through his shed blood and resurrection life? And by the way, today, if you want to see sin conquered in your life, it's only through Jesus. We can't do it through our own good works, our own effort. We must come to Christ and submit to him as King. That's what Palm Sunday means. Y'all realize today's Palm Sunday, right? Where Jesus, the triumphal entry, comes into Jerusalem. And he comes down from the Mount of Olives, coming in there. And the people are crying out, Hosanna! Hosanna to the King! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what a prophetic picture that is, because one of these days Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to come down from the Mount of Olives, and he's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to reign as King forever. Can I get an amen on that today? Come on, church, isn't that good news? He is King. King. We don't need a better president. We don't need a better economy. We just need Jesus. That's what we need. We just need Jesus. And he'll take care of the rest. Okay? Today, we're looking at how to defeat the enemy. We are in a real battle every single day. Scripture says to be sober and on the alert because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Great Wall of China. It is one of the seven wonders of our world. It's over 4,000 miles long, and it was originally built to protect China from barbarians who would invade or try to invade from the north of them. And it was built so high that it can't be scaled. It was built so thick that it couldn't be penetrated. It was built so long that the thought was you couldn't just go around it. I mean, it was considered, when it was built, the most impenetrable fortification quite possibly in the history of mankind. Yet, within the first 100 years of the Great Wall of China being in existence, those walls were breached and China was invaded on three different occasions just within the first 100 years. Well, how did that happen, right? That's the big question. I thought this was the impenetrable wall, right? Well, it happened by the enemies of the Chinese people bribing the soldiers who manned the gates. And I believe that really is a picture for us of more what these daily battles are like. So often when we talk about doing battle with the enemy and spiritual warfare, we put this on in our mind in this big picture of all-out war. But really, kind of like Pastor Justin talked about those battles of inches, right? It seems that more often than not, the enemy gets his way, doesn't he? Come on, children of God, in our lives, just by bribing us with the stuff of this world, with comfort, convenience, material things, subtle temptation. He leans into those besetting sins in our life and those things that are our weak points. And it's more like the enemy comes and bribes the gatekeepers in our life, if you will. And we've got to recognize every day of our life that we are in a real battle. What the enemy's trying to do is maybe not drop grenades on us, but more bribe his way or deceive his way into our lives. So we've got to recognize the schemes of the devil, call it what it is, and walk in the victory that Jesus has already won for us. So that's what we see in this passage, is how to do that. How do we appropriate the victory that Jesus has already won? How do we win these spiritual daily battles? Ephesians chapter 6, let's start together in verse number 10. Let's read. Paul writes here and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." All right, look at your spouse and say, "It ain't your fault today." Come on now, right now. It's not your fault, not you. Every husband in the room just go and say, "It's me." Go on and own it, right? And all kidding aside, our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with each other. It's not with our kids. It's not with your boss. It's not with that teacher or that coach or that neighbor or that family member that's hard, extended family member that's hard to get along with. That's not where your battle is. It's not with flesh and blood. Well, that's important to remember, isn't it? These daily battles. It's not with flesh and blood. It's with rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces of evil, the devil and his demons. Goes on to say in verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm." Stand therefore. By the way, is that word stand listed a bunch of times, referred to a bunch of times right here already? Three times, and then withstand is also a form of that same word in the original language. And so resistance, stand and resist. The devil doesn't want you to flee when the battle comes. That's important to remember in these days. He doesn't want us to wave the white flag of surrender in our own flesh, but instead to surrender to Jesus and stand right there and trust in his power to work this thing out. He doesn't want you to flee. That's important, from that place. Sometimes when it gets difficult, we want to run from that situation or that relationship or this thing. And God says, no, no, you need to stay there. Stand there. And we can't appropriate the power of God or be transformed to the fullest point unless we're willing to stay in that place and understand what God is doing there and appropriate the victory that he's given us. That's important. That word stand is listed here in the original language is four different times, withstand being that picture of standing to resist. So he says, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one." The flaming arrows, that's not something you shoot at somebody, right? That's not a face-to-face weapon. That's something that comes from a distance. Does the devil bring surprise attacks in our life? Things that we didn't see coming? Situations, circumstances that we didn't know were on the horizon? Absolutely, he does. But just like the old cliche statement, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but aren't you glad we know who holds tomorrow, church? Jesus does. He's won the war. But oh, those darts that come. So we got to take up the shield of faith and trust God, even in the surprise attacks. And we've got to take, he says, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying. Now, putting on the armor of God sounds like it's time to go act, to go engage. What's interesting here, he says, put on the armor of God and take a knee. Isn't that interesting? You are engaging in the battle, by the way. The point he's making is the best way that we fight those battles is, first of all, in prayer. In prayer. We'll talk more about that today, but he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also, Paul says, for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. How do we win the spiritual battles? Verse 10 summarizes it for us. Be strong in the Lord. Find our strength ultimately in him and in the strength of his might. The word strong here speaks of finding your ability in God. It's the word dunamis. It speaks of being able to do something. How many of you know today that you can't live life without Jesus? We just can't. Can't do it in a way that's honoring unto Him. We cannot do it. It's not in our ability. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus, and what He's done for us through His shed blood and His resurrection. And so we are not able, but when we find our strength in Him, the strength of His might. In the original language, it means that His ability is exceeding. How many know that God is able to do anything? Come on now. He can do the impossible. He can do those things which man says cannot be done for the glory of His own name. So be strong in the Lord. The first key to defeating the enemy is recognizing I'm unable, but He, come on church, is He able? Absolutely He is. He is able. We must recognize our enemy. If we're going to win these battles, we have to know the enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's Satan and his demons. And I've already talked about that. We must know his strategy. The Bible has a lot to say about the devil and his demons and the strategy of the enemy. He is a deceiver. He's the liar and the father of lies. And so deception, he disguises himself as an angel. There it is, church, bribing us at the gate, an angel of light. He doesn't disguise himself as this big wicked figure, but instead the devil, Satan, and his demons try to make their way into our lives and into our homes through things that seem good and nice and somewhat right, right? And so deception, we see division. Scripture says that he loves to bring division in homes, in the church, in your workplace. The devil loves to divide. Accusation. He's referred to in the scriptures as the accuser of the brethren. How many of you know today there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? And so when that word of accusation and condemnation comes in my heart and my mind, that's not of God. That is of either my flesh or of the devil himself. It's not of God. He brings accusation. He brings temptation, doesn't he? So he tempts us to disobey God. He uses intimidation. Fear is one of the leading motivators, right, that the devil uses or he leans into to try to get us to disobey God and to walk away from God's best. But also, the enemy uses isolation. Scripture refers to the devil as the little g god of this world. He's over the domain, Scripture says, of darkness. Darkness. How many of you know that isolation is the devil's playground? Come on, church. It is. That was one of the worst parts of COVID, and I'm not here to argue the medical statistics and all the science behind that. I'm not here to get into all that today. But we would all agree isolation is a bad thing. And we were so isolated during that time, and so many people today are still isolated, live such an isolated life. Isolation is the devil's playground. We need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need others that will encourage us in our faith. And we need the warmth of the community and of faith. That's what we need. And so he uses deception, division, accusation, temptation, intimidation, and isolation. And we see in this passage what will defeat him. Ultimately, we learn here some tactics for defeating the devil. Tactic number one, let's dive in together. We must, if we're going to defeat the enemy, win the spiritual battles. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. It's not our words per se or even our actions. It's first and foremost spiritual weapons. And so first and foremost, to defeat the enemy, we must put on the armor of God. Isn't that what he says here, church? Put on the armor of God. The word in the Greek here for armor is the word panoplia. It speaks of both the offensive and defensive weapons. It's the totality of a soldier's gear and weaponry in order to defeat his or her enemy. It's defensive and offensive. And so the armor of God here, it speaks, if you put it all together, for me, I it helps me understand this better when I think about it in totality, more than the individual pieces of this armor. A lot of times we take it, we begin to work through the individual pieces, and that's okay. But I challenge you to think of it on a 30,000-foot view. Think of it more as our identity in Christ as Jesus tells us, and Paul wrote in the New Testament, he said, put on the new self. You remember that verse? It's the same idea. Put on the new self. Put on the Lord Jesus. And so, and make no provision for the flesh. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. It's the same idea. Put on the whole armor of God. So instead, oh, come on, somebody. Instead of defending myself, do we do that? Justifying myself, do we do that? Come on, church. Y'all with me today? If you are, say amen. Instead of defending ourselves, justifying ourselves, striving in our own strength, we put on Jesus as our defense. Whenever you get in the battle, don't you want to justify and defend? Isn't that what you want to do? That's part of the big idea immediately here is, no, wait a minute. Put on the armor of God. Let God and Christian character be your defense. It's like some have said before, you know, you take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. You ever heard that before? You take care of your character, God will take care of your reputation. It's not about me defending myself. This is about God being praised. And we see here the belt of truth. So the truth that pushes back against all those lies and the deception of the enemy. The breastplate of righteousness. When I'm tempted, I put on the righteousness of Christ. Jesus, you have already won the war for my soul. I'm loved. I'm provided for. I'm empowered by you. Reckon yourself, it says in Romans 6, dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. It's identity. So I'm putting on righteousness. I am putting on the shoes of gospel readiness, the gospel of peace. And so that pushes back against division and distraction from the mission. Okay? The shield of faith. It protects against accusation, intimidation, and isolation. It's interesting here, the shield of faith, the shield he refers to here is not the small shield that they used in hand-to-hand combat. They had one of those, but it's referring more to, for Roman soldiers, this large shield that they had that they would use. They would come in and get right beside one another and create this wall of defense at the front lines of battle. That's the idea here. So don't miss the picture. When he says taking up the shield of faith, he's saying you got to do that together in community with other believers as well if you're going to win the battle. How many of you know you got to have other children of God in your life to win the battle? Come on now. I need the counsel of others, the prayer of others, the encouragement of other believers. So the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, that's knowing my identity in Christ. I'm protected. I'm provided for. I'm healed and whole in Jesus' name. Even though this body will wear out, I'm going to be with Jesus forever, and I'm going to get a brand new glorified body one day. So I'm resting in him, that helmet of salvation. And so think about it. Whenever the battle rages, do we lie? Oh, come on now. We need a little interaction today. Whenever the battle starts to rage in your marriage, in your workplace, in your extended family, with neighbors or others in the community, do we start making stuff up? Well, let me tell you what she is. Come on now. Do we start to attack? Do we get in the flesh and go on attack mode? Well, let me tell you who he is, what he is. I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you what's going through his mind. You ever said that before? I'll tell you what she's really thinking. And we say this stuff at home. What in the world do I know about what somebody's thinking? But isn't that the stuff we say? And we begin to attack others. And instead of putting on the righteousness of Christ, we try to control things. How many control freaks I got in the room? Come on, own it with Pastor Derek today. Right? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to control this. I'm going to say this and do this. I'm going to plan that, and I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to fix you. Right? Isn't that what happens in the battle? I mean, this is the stuff. Think about it. Let's just bring it down to daily life. The battle of inches, the bribing at the gate. That really is the way the enemy works into our life. And so in all this stuff, we begin to live out of the flesh, and we fall prey right to what the devil's doing, and we just lean right in. Right? And so whenever we begin to seek revenge on others, or we use words to attack others, or we choose unforgiveness or bitterness towards others in the midst of the battle and the struggle, we begin to change sides and do the work of the enemy instead of the work of Jesus. That's not an amen, that's an oh me, isn't it? For all of us today. And so that's the big idea here. The putting on the shoes of gospel readiness, the gospel of peace. when the battle rages, man, the peace is taken away. Arguing happens, debate, fussing and grumbling and complaining, and all this stuff starts to come out of our flesh if we don't surrender to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. And so that, you see what I'm saying? That's the big idea here. Put the whole thing on, man. Put on Jesus. Put on Christ. And so the armor also is ultimately what you trust in. So when the battle rages, what are you trusting in? Some people trust in their wealth and their possessions. So relationships are utilitarian. So if my security and safety is over here. If you don't agree with me, that's all right. I don't need you. Wrong armor. That's going to fail you. How many of you know today you can't take any of that stuff with you? Isn't that right? Never been a U-Haul behind a hearse. Never seen it. Have you? No, can't take it with you. You better not find your security and identity in that, right? In our intelligence or education or earthly success or Paul said, didn't he, at one point to the church at Philippi, he said, listen, man, if anybody could put confidence in the flesh, it could be me. Man, I was a Pharisee. I was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. I mean, I was a dude, man. I was well known. I was dignified. And now I am like the dregs of society, man, because I gave all that up. But all that, he says in Philippians, he says, all that I count as rubbish, man, in comparison to knowing Jesus. Jesus is so much better. How many wanted to declare today Jesus is better? Come on, church, he's better than all that stuff the world offers us and the devil tries to bribe us with at the gate of our wall, spiritual wall. And so that's the idea. Armor is what you trust in. Look at this, Luke chapter 11, verse 21. Jesus, this is the words of Jesus, when a strong man, fully armed, he's talking about defeating the enemy here, but he says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe, but when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor, look at this, in which he trusted, and divides his spoil. It's the same word for armor in the original language that we have here in Ephesians chapter 6. Same word. And so what are you trusting in? When the battle rages, are you trusting in wealth? Or are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in your education or your worldly accolades? Or what do we trust in? Are we putting confidence in the flesh? Or are we putting on our identity in Christ? His love, his peace, his righteousness, his truth. You see that? That's the big idea here. And notice what's the one offensive weapon? Come on, church. What's the offensive weapon? Sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, the Word of God. So the one offensive weapon, isn't that interesting? He names directly. It's the Word of God is your offensive weapon. The sword he's talking about here is not the large sword that they would use that was heavy to wield around. He's talking about a small sword that they would use in direct hand-to-hand combat. So he's saying, listen, man, we need to be able to handle the Word of God. So the sword, by the way, is for defeating the enemy, not debating my brother. Come on now. So the Bible is for defeating the enemy, not debating my brother. We want to spend more time in debate instead of using it to defeat the enemy and edify the church and build one another up. And so the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Let me give you two words. Write this down. This is not in your notes today, but I encourage you to write this down. Two words, profession and prophecy. Profession and prophecy. Your profession and what you prophesy over others matters. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, listen, the devil will lie to you. It's imperative that we speak the Word of God. Profession is what I say over myself. How many of us will just own it today and say, what I say over myself is oftentimes not good? That's me. I do that, right? We will say things of ourselves and to ourselves that destroys our faith more than builds it. Well, what does the Bible say about you if you're in Christ? You're blessed, highly favored, provided for, protected, healed and whole in Jesus' name. And profession, what do you speak over your life? Whatever God says about you, it's not about name it, claim it theology like we hear in in our society sometimes. No, we're talking about what God names we can claim. Isn't that right, church? What God says about you and me and about our children and our homes and our church, we can claim over our lives. And we should. Psalm 103 says, I'll bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. Let me not forget any of his benefits. He forgives all of our sins, heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns our life with good. He satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. In Psalm 112, man, I speak this over our home all the time. It says, Psalm 112, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in your commands. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright is blessed. The Bible says a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. And so we speak that. We speak that over our children. Yeah, we pop their rear end every now and then too. Okay? We got to correct some stuff that's not right. But listen, do not apologize for speaking blessing and favor over your children. Come on, church. Over your spouse, especially husbands in the room, over our wives. Speaking that word of blessing. So, profession over my life, but prophecy is what I say of other people's lives. And so this is important. Your words make or break the battle every day. And so many children of God, we will lean into, sometimes facetiously, speaking things over our families that are not edifying to their faith and that are actually the opposite of what God says. And so we want to speak what God says over our homes, our children, our spouse, our family, and those around us, those within the church body, in our family group that we're doing life with. Man, it's imperative. Profession and prophecy, the Word of God. Hey, how much do you know about God's Word? And I'm not just talking about factual knowledge. How much of God's Word have you taken and are applying it to your life and speaking it over yourself and over those closest to you? Profession and prophecy. Do not apologize for speaking God's favor over those that are right around you every single day. Don't apologize for that. God uses it. The power of life and death is where? Come on, children of God. In the tongue. By the way, what's in the well comes up in the bucket. That's not a Bible verse, but it is commentary on a Bible verse. The Bible says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The stuff that comes out of our mouths is what's rooted deep within us. Does that scare anybody else in here? Come on it today. A little bit. Every careless word Jesus said, we will have to give accounting for on the other side. So I want to be careful what I speak. That's imperative. Every single day. A lot of times the battles rage, especially in our homes, simply because of what we are professing and prophesying. So the Word of God, we've got to speak what God's Word says. God's Word, man, it supersedes man's Word, doesn't it? Aren't you glad for that today? All right, let's keep going. You got to put on the armor of God. If you want me to say amen, say amen. We're in the deep end of the pool today, by the way, okay? So we're swimming in the deep end. It's good stuff. Secondly, he says we've got to pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to move quickly because I want us to have plenty of time to pray this morning. So pray in the Spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're spiritual. And prayer, how many of you know today prayer defeats the enemy? Defeats the enemy. Prayer defeats the enemy. I'm telling you it does. Praying. He says praying here. It's a participle that goes back to our standing. So stand and pray. In other words, it doesn't necessarily mean a posture of standing. What he's saying is in that battle, stay right there and pray. Right in that battle, stay there and pray your way through it. Pray your way through that battle. Don't try to control it. Don't just constantly speak to it. God will give you words. He wants you to say some things in relationships and life. But let God guide all of that, right? Pray. Pray through the battle. Prayer, praying, it's both a verb and an adjective here because it's a participle. So it's got parts and pieces of both a verb and an adjective. So in other words, if a Christian, listen up, children of God, if we ought to be known for anything, we ought to be known for prayer. You agree with that? I hope you do. It's what God's Word teaches right here. If we should be known for anything as children of God, we ought to be known for prayer, for praying. So pray at home. Pray at church. Pray over meals. Pray with your kids. Pray with your spouse. Pray at work. You want to turn some stuff over at work? Let your coworkers come around the corner and see you praying with somebody who has a need. Pray at work. Young people, pray at school. You can't have prayer in schools. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You can pray all you want to at school. You can take your Bible. You can speak about Jesus. There's nothing that keeps you from doing that. You just can't stand up in the middle of math class and say, hey, teacher, be quiet a minute. I got to preach the gospel up in here, right? That's the only thing you can't do is interrupt class with it. The rest of the time, man, interrupt the devil's work up in there, man. Pray. Talk about Jesus. I mean, you could do that. Pray. Whenever the need arises, prayer should rise. That's another thing I've learned. How many times do we tell people, I'm going to pray for you, and we never do? Is that true, church? And we forget about it. Unintentionally, but we forget about it. Pray right then. When the need arises, let prayer rise with it. He talks here about praying in the Spirit. Now listen closely. Some take this to mean praying in other tongues or prayer language. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, Paul talks about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, the Bible teaches, edifies and builds the faith of the one who is praying. Special connection between you and God. But Paul even says, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 14, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's interesting. But right here, and in 1 Corinthians 14, too, he goes on to say, I would rather speak clear words, many more clear words, in the body of Christ for the edification of the body than I would five words in an unknown tongue. So why do I say that? When he talks about praying in the Spirit here, I believe what he's talking about is praying under the leadership or the unction of the Spirit. In fact, he goes on to talk about praying for the saints and for him and some specific things to pray for. Okay? And so praying in the Spirit is more about letting the Spirit of God lead your prayer life. How many children of God are testify today? The Spirit of God will teach you how to pray. Come on now. If you lean in prayer, the Spirit of God will give you a burden to pray. Romans 8. We don't know how to pray as we should, but he meets us there in our weakness and gives us unction. He teaches us how to pray with groanings. It says that he comes with groanings that are too deep for words. And so the idea there is he comes and he gives us a burden in our prayer life. The Holy Spirit will guide your prayer life. And so we need to lean in prayer. Persistent prayer wins the victory. Persistent prayer. He talks here about when to pray. He says, pray how often? At all times. At all times. He talks about how to pray. He says, pray in the Spirit and with perseverance. So under the direction of the Spirit of God and persist there. He talks about what to pray for. He says, pray for all prayer and supplication. So in other words, all manner, types, and kinds of prayer. God just wants you to bring it. Just bring everything to Him. Okay? But he also finishes here by talking about not just what to pray, how to pray, all these things, but he also talks about who to pray for. He says we should pray for all the saints. All the saints. So pray, pray, pray. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led intercession sees the victory. The problem in the church is not unanswered prayers, it's unoffered ones. Unoffered prayers. And instead of trying to fix my spouse or fix this problem or fix all these things with my words and actions, instead, let's take it to God in prayer and let Him win the battle. First of all, He needs to do some work in me. Can I get an amen on that? I go to prayer and God's like, quit praying for somebody else. You need to get right first and then I'll take you there. Unoffered. Let's let God fix us, but then also in prayer, let's just give it over to Him and say, God, I pray you would work in this individual's life, in this person's life, in my spouse's life, and my kids, and pray God's best over their life. They'd be strengthened in the faith, filled with the Spirit, filled with wisdom, filled with the knowledge of the will of God, that God would open the eyes of their heart to know the hope of the calling we have, and man, our inheritance in the gospel and all this stuff. And let's pray for strengthening of faith and encouragement for others. And that's how we win the battles. J.D. Greer once asked this question. I thought it was a great question I heard in one of his sermons. He said, if God answered all the prayers you prayed this past week, would anybody else's life other than your own be changed? It's a good question, right? Instead of battling with one another, let's pray for one another and let God take care of the battles. Let's let God work that out. So we got to put on the armor of God. We got to pray in the Spirit. But then thirdly and lastly, how do you defeat the enemy? Proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. What is it that pushes back darkness around us? It's light. In our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our schools, our homes. What is it that pushes back all the lies that are being thrown on us in these days by the devil? And that's who it is. It's not flesh and blood. It's the devil. Well, it's the light of the gospel that pushes all that back. What the world needs more than anything in these days is the loving truth of the gospel. That we are all sinners. The shades, types, and kinds of our sin may be different, but we're all sinners and we all need Jesus. We're separated from a holy God because of our sin, the one who made us, and we're going to answer to him for that. But, oh, aren't you grateful that God sent Jesus to come and take the punishment we deserve because of our sin? Shed his precious blood, placed in a tomb, he rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate on Easter, but that's what we celebrate every day. Come on, somebody. Every day is Easter. He rose from the dead. Now, whosoever will surrender to Jesus, call upon his name, submit to him as Lord of their life, will be forgiven and made right with God. The gospel. And God's will, God's way, God's word is not punitive. It's not archaic. It's not just something for people of olden day. No, no, no. It is relevant for today. This is God's best for you. What God says about gender and sexuality and life and how you ought to speak, act, and think, all that stuff is God's best for you. He's inviting you into his grace and his best through the teaching of his word. The world needs to hear that with love, respect, grace, but also with boldness. Paul says here, pray that I would boldly declare. He's in jail. He doesn't say, man, pray that God will strike these suckers with lightning, throwing me in this jail like that. That's not what he said. He says, you pray, this is real, isn't it, that God will open my mouth. When you're in the battle, do you just shut it down sometimes? Do we forget, excuse me, the people right around us that we may think we're fighting with, God may have us there because they need to hear about Jesus and see Jesus in us? Especially out in society with the battles that go on, like in school and workplaces and stuff like that, God may have you in the midst of that difficulty so they can see and hear the gospel from you. The only way we're going to win those battles is put on Jesus there, man. Stand right there. Pray. Put on the armor, God. Just, okay, God, you're going to work this out. And by the way, so-and-so, we're not moving. I'm right here. We're going to work through this, but let me tell you who God, let me tell you about Jesus, what he's done in our life. And let me show you Jesus, by the way, I'm going to act in this situation.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in. And we invite you to listen in with us next week.